From the newsrooms of WBUR and GBH, I'm Arun Roth. Welcome to Consider This from Boston, where the city and the state are continuing to push people to get vaccinated against COVID. Part of the attraction of the mRNA technology that powers the Moderna and Pfizer vaccines is how simple it is to update them to fight new strains. But the booster shots that the Biden administration is planning to roll out next month will probably not be re-engineered to fight versions of COVID like the Delta variant that ruined so many summers. WBUR reporter Angus Chen has been reporting on this. He's with us now. Hi, Angus.
Hey, Arun.
So first, give us a quick recap of what I talked through so quickly there. What makes these vaccines, these particular vaccines, so good at responding to new variants?
So one good thing is that it's not just the mRNA vaccines from Pfizer and Moderna. The DNA technology behind Johnson & Johnson can do this as well. And these technologies, the way they work is they all contain a string of genetic code based on the original coronavirus's spike protein. Our cells use this code to build that spike protein and then immune molecules that can neutralize it and recognize it and fight the coronavirus. What's great about using genetic code in this way is that it's easy to reprogram. You can just rewrite it so that it's based on the Delta variant's genome instead of the original coronavirus or any other nasty variant you'd want to stop. So in theory, tailoring the genetics inside the vaccine to the genetics inside a variant will make the shot better at fighting that specific variant.
So why aren't we updating the shots that will be given for the booster shots coming in September?
Yeah, I mean, we know that the Delta variant causes breakthrough infections in fully vaccinated people. So that might make you think we should update the vaccine to target Delta. But I spoke with Harvard immunologist Dr. Dan Baruch about this, and he said updating the vaccine should theoretically provide better protection against Delta, right? But it probably wouldn't actually make a very big difference because Delta isn't that different from the ancestral coronavirus in its physical shape and form. So the antibodies from the original vaccine still work pretty well against it. Instead, Baruch thinks there's probably another reason why Delta is causing cases among vaccinated people.
The increased breakthroughs with the Delta variant is probably more related to its hyperinfectiousness rather than its intrinsic ability to evade antibodies.
The Delta variant can increase the amount of virus in people's upper respiratory tracts by like 1,000 times when they're infected with it. So you might not only be getting exposed to the virus more often due to Delta infections around you, but you'll also be getting hit with more of the virus. One expert I talked with compared this to using an umbrella to keep yourself dry in like the middle of a hurricane or a big rainstorm. It's sometimes just too much for the vaccine to keep you completely dry.
If there is even a tiny benefit, though, is there any problem with just, you know, taking it, making that adaptation?
Yeah, like, why not go for it, you know? There are costs involved with doing this. You know, for one, we'd have to push out millions of the new vaccine, this updated vaccine, when we already have millions of the old stuff sitting in warehouses around the country. So that's not easy. And the other thing is that public health experts worry an updated shot might cause people to lose faith in the stuff we currently have. And that would really be a shame because the current vaccines still work really well to keep you healthy, even if you do experience a breakthrough infection. Here's Dr. Benjamin Linus. He's an epidemiologist at Boston University.
I don't know what message it would give if they said, oh, we have a new highly, you know, specially engineered vaccine for Delta. Does that generate concern that the original vaccine didn't work against Delta, which is absolutely not true.
Also, we need data from experiments telling us what the benefit of using a tailored booster actually is. And we just don't have that yet. You know, BioNTech, Moderna, and Johnson & Johnson, they all have these shots updated against Delta already, and they're working on getting that data. They're just not releasing it yet. So it's not clear to public health officials what the right move really is.
So for the booster shots that will be coming out, what do we know about them? When the Biden administration first announced they would authorize them, there was a fair amount of pushback from the scientific community. It still is.
Yeah. I think a big part of this debate is two shots seems to provide good protection from the data we currently have, or at least the data we had at the time. But also so many people around the world haven't had the opportunity to get the vaccine because it's not available where they live. And people are still debating about this. You know, would it be better to send more vaccines that are here in the U.S. that people aren't taking to places around the world that really need shots, that have a lot of people who want to get the shot, than to give a third shot to fully vaccinated people who are in the United States? There's actually, I don't think, a good answer to that, because some people in the U.S. probably really would benefit from that third shot. We're seeing data from Israel right now that suggests getting a third shot or a second shot if you're a J&J person does really boost your antibodies, and it probably helps against the Delta variant too. Since Israel started giving those boosters, cases have dropped there. Although I'm sure part of it is also changes in behavior as people become, you know, like less social as cases rise. But it is a thing to think about, you know, when you have immunocompromised people who are here or very elderly people who are here, where vaccine immunity might be dropping faster for them.
And I have to imagine the mRNA vaccines, the way you described them, we can update them in different ways in the future if we decide that's a good idea.
Yeah, absolutely. One researcher I spoke with, Bronwyn McInnes at the Broad Institute, said that it might be wise to kind of keep our powder dry in this case. Manufacturers can update the vaccine and it wouldn't be super hard, but you know, new variants pop up all the time. And if the vaccine you have is still working really well, as is the case with Delta, then it might not make sense to incur all the costs of making an updated shot. But sometime in the future, a variant could emerge that has this unfortunate property of making our current vaccines obsolete. And that's when you really want to fire all the guns and say, okay, we're going to unleash this tool and it might cost us some money or, you know, some doses we have in the fridge, but we know for sure it's worth it.
Makes sense. Angus, makes sense thanks to you. We appreciate you breaking this down for us. That was great.
Sure thing. Thanks, Arun.
That's WBUR reporter Angus Chen. Before we go, I should tell you what else is up. The body of Marine Sergeant and Lawrence native Yohani Rosario is back in the United States this morning. Rosario was one of roughly 100 people killed in last week's attack in Kabul. Lawrence Mayor Kendris Vasquez says the city is in mourning.
This is a time for us to come together as one community to pay tribute to the heroic actions of Yohani, who in the spirit of a true Laurentian gave her all to give refuge to those in need.
Vasquez says Rosario will be buried in Lawrence in the coming days, and he says a citywide celebration of her life is in the works. In other news, hospitals across the state are in need of nurses. Massachusetts Hospital Association President Steve Walsh says local medical facilities currently have the most job openings they've seen in quite some time. Walsh says he and others in the field want to build a better pipeline to recruit more people into nursing.
Trying to make the profession more flexible, trying to understand the challenges that there are within the profession and the fact that burnout was a significant problem for our caregivers before COVID. It's even worse now.
In Rhode Island, the governor signed an executive order last week making it easier for retired nurses to lend a hand at hospitals without putting their pensions at risk. And finally, Worcester Public Schools are back in session today, and schools are observing the state's K-12 mask mandate. Worcester School Committee member Tracy O'Connell Novick says she understands parents are anxious about students coming back to class. And while the city spent the past year upgrading ventilation systems in many school buildings, she says that some facilities are in better shape than others.
We have everything from a high school that literally is opening for the first time to students on Monday, that's that brand new, to a building that was built 10 years after the Civil War that's going to be taking kids back. So when it comes to how is this going to work, the answer very much is it depends in Worcester.
One of O'Connell Novick's main concerns is lunchtime, when students take their masks off to eat. She's pushing for lunch to be held outdoors. From the newsrooms of WBUR and GBH, the greatest combo in news, I'm Arun Roth. Be well. You like podcasts. Here's one more you might enjoy. From the producers of GBH's Antiques Roadshow, Detours is a podcast about what happens to all those antiques after the cameras leave town. Join Adam Monahan, longtime producer of Roadshow, for stories of sales, fakes, and even federal crimes. Subscribe to Detours wherever you get your podcasts.